Welcome to The Leader and the Muse with top personal brand coach and leadership presence guru, Rasheryl McCrary. Rasheryl teaches executives and entrepreneurs how to build their personal brands and increase their influence in ways that drive personal and organizational success. Now, she's ready to help you. It's time to expand your brand. Here's Rasheryl McCrary.
Welcome to The Leader and the Muse, and I am your host, Rasheryl McCrary. I'm the president of Dow Leadership Development and also a certified leadership coach and personal brand strategist. Now, over the past decade, I have coached and trained over 1,000 leaders in Fortune 500 companies and government agencies, helping them discover, communicate, and leverage their authentic personal brand. Now, for those of you listening who are not really familiar with personal branding, a personal brand is your unique promise of value. It's your unique combination of skills, strengths, values, and creative abilities. And personal branding is the process by which we unearth and cultivate your personal brand. So each week here on The Leader and the Muse, we will be discussing personal branding through the lens of my Brand You program. And that's Brand Y-O-U, which means brand your own uniqueness. And it really, really helps leaders and entrepreneurs unearth and leverage their personal brand. Now, there are four steps to my Brand You program, and they are excavation, which is a journey of self-reflection and discovering all of the data points and strengths and qualities that make you you. Clarify is the second step, and that's where we sift through the data gathered in the excavate phase, and we boil it down to its essential elements to come up with your unique brand. The third step is embody, and that's where we talk about how you actually show up as your brand through your presence, through your appearance, through your environment. And then the fourth step is leverage, and that's where we look at low-impact, high-value actions that actually launch your brand out into the world in ways that drive success. So each week, we'll be exploring various aspects of this process with our guests. So this week, I am thrilled to welcome our special guest, Scott Eblen. Now, Scott Eblen is an executive coach, a professional speaker, and he is the author of a fantastic book called The Next Level, What Insiders Know About Executive Success. Scott was a former Fortune 500 executive, and he is currently the founder and president of the Eblen Group, where he has coached hundreds of senior leaders in scores of organizations. Some of Scott's clients include AstraZeneca, Booz Allen Hamilton, Capital One, GE, Johnson & Johnson, and the World Bank. Scott is a graduate of Davidson College and Harvard University, and he currently serves on the faculty of the Leadership Coaching Certificate Program at Georgetown University. Scott lives near Washington, D.C. with his wife, Diane, and their two sons. And I am so thrilled to have you on the show today, Scott. Welcome to The Leader and the Muse.
Thank you so much. I'm really pleased and thrilled to be here. It's great.
I am glad to have you. And as you know, today's show is taken from one of your talks. It's entitled Running Flat Out to Where Exactly? Get Back on Course with a Life GPS. And this show is going to really look at specific tools that you've discovered for helping executives and entrepreneurs deal with hectic, nonstop, back-to-back schedules that just really, really can jeopardize a great personal brand. But Scott, before we jump into that, I would like for you to share with our listeners how you became Brand Scott Eblen. So I know that you were formerly a corporate executive, and now you are a best-selling author and a leading entrepreneur and leadership coach. So how did you become Brand Scott Eblen?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to frame the question. And so I've been coaching and speaking and writing different elements of that now for the last 12 years. And I got started in this business, this phase of my life, for Cheryl, after about a 15-year career as a primarily a corporate executive and manager and a couple of different industries, mainly energy and financial services. And sometimes people ask me, well, how did you get started, you know, and how did you make that transition? And my short answer usually is what I'm doing now is all of the stuff that I loved about corporate life and none of the stuff that I didn't love about corporate life, right? You know? And the stuff that I really loved was leadership development, which honestly I've been fascinated by that since I was a Cub Scout probably. So leadership development was one element of it. And the other thing that I've really kind of gravitated to for most of my life is strategy, you know, and really the question of where do we or where do I want to be and where are we or where am I now and how do we get from here to there. And when I think about coaching and the writing that I do and the speaking and leadership education programs that I lead, it's kind of the intersection of those two things, you know, leadership development and strategy. And that's the stuff that I loved. You know, I wasn't into all the things that you have to do when you're the vice president of human resources at a big company, which I enjoyed that for a time, right? But
right.
That wasn't how I wanted to spend the rest of my life. And so 12 years ago, I made that change.
That's really wonderful. And it's reminding me of several weeks ago, Warren Bennis was the guest on the show. And he specifically spoke about really loving what you do, really asking yourself that hard question. What do I love? Do I love what I'm doing? And so that seems to be sort of a key ingredient in terms of how you evolve into your personal brand.
Yeah, well, if it's good enough for Warren Dennis, it's good enough for me.
Absolutely. So Scott, one thing I'm really interested in just a little bit more as we talk about how you personally excavated mm-hmm. your brand and sort of clarified your brand. Mm-hmm. One thing that's really interesting to note is, and I'm sure you've experienced this as well, so many of my clients who are VPs in organizations or, you know, are in a corporate environment are very interested sometimes by the idea of becoming a consultant, stepping away from the corporate environment and really setting up their own shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think it takes a unique, sort of inner drive or something to actually make that leap.
Yeah.
So what gave you the courage to sort of leave your day job and start your own company?
You know, that's funny. Cause that was the other question I got asked a lot, you know, or versions of that question when I made the transition. So I was in a company, called Columbia Energy Group, which at the time when I was there was about a Fortune 250 kind of company. And I was head of HR for one of their largest subsidiary. And I kind of felt, you know, I started thinking a couple of years before I left, really, you know, what do I really want to do? You know, I was like in my late 30s, and I have a pretty low boredom threshold, and I kind of felt like we'd done everything as a management team there and our part of the company that we'd set out to do after about 3.5 years. And I felt like a few things were possible. One was we were just going to start repeating ourselves, and that didn't seem very interesting. Or the other, frankly, was that our parent company was going to get acquired, and I was right about that. I mean, there were a lot of reasons to think that was going to happen, and it eventually did. And so I spent a good part of that last year working on integration with the acquiring company. I knew for sure, frankly, that I wasn't going to stick around after that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd sort of seen what the future looks like. And so when I left, you know, I could have stayed. You know, I could have stayed in the job that I was in. And, you know, that sort of seemed maybe to a lot of people like the safe thing to do. And people would say, wow, that's such a risk. You know, you're taking such a risk to go out and do what you're going to do. How can you do that? And I said, you know, it would be a bigger risk for me to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And what I meant by that, I didn't mean like financially or, you know, any of that. I really meant like psychologically and the most,
right.
You know, spiritually even, you know, because it just, I knew I was ready. And it took a long time, I mean like several years, to get to that point and to really mm-hmm. define what it was going to be when I left. But once I got there, I was just really, really clear that that was it. And I think, you know, if you're going to go out on your own in a business, you better be clear about what you're doing and why you're doing it, because it's a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work, and you're it initially
right.
when you start, and it's not a halfway thing. You know, you've got to be all in for it to really work, and it takes a lot of drive and passion and commitment and support from your family and everything else, you know, to make it work. And so, you know, just be really clear about what you're going to do. And I think if you are clear, then, you know, it's probably a really good predictor of success.
Absolutely. And that clarity is driven by your unabiding passion. I mean, just all out passion for the work that you do.
Yeah.
Because that's what really fuels you, through the sort of one arm paper hanger phase mm-hmm. where you're doing every single thing to get the business off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. I mean, Steve Martin, when he was doing stand up, used to have a bit that he would do right in the middle of the show. He would, stop in the middle of a sentence and he'd start singing, "But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this," you know. And that's, you know, I think you have to kind of feel that way if you're going to go into this business, like, wow, I get paid to do this, you know. It's like, what a gift. And I, you know, 12 years later, I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. So Scott, what do you think really differentiates you from other executive coaches out there? Because so you sort of found your brand, you were very clear about what your offer was out into the world, you've started this business. And then if you can tell our listeners, what do you think really sets you apart from other coaches that are out there?
That's a good one. So I have sort of a two-part answer to that. The first thing is, I would say your offer and your differentiators evolve over time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's what I offer today and how I present myself to the world today is, you know, at the core, I'm still me. You know, I'm still the person I in many, many ways I was 12 years ago, but I'm much more clear and refined and concise about the offer. You know,
mm-hmm.
I guess my word of encouragement to anybody listening to this who's thinking about making this kind of move is, we just talked about clarity. Don't be discouraged if you're not crystal clear with your 30-second explanation of what you're doing and why you're doing it and who it's for, you know, because it takes
right.
a while to really refine that. That's going to change over time. It's going to change as markets change. It's going to change as you develop new skills and gain new experience and so forth. So that's the first part, is it's an evolutionary process. Even today, you know, 12 years into it, you know, if I'm not, you know, it's like Woody Allen and Annie Hall, if the shark's not moving forward, it dies. I mean, you know, I think you've always got to be evolving your brand and really thinking, you know, strategically about where am I now and what's next. So that's the first part of the answer. The second part of the answer on differentiator actually goes back to a meeting I was in January 2004 in La Jolla, California, and Marshall Goldsmith, who I'm sure a lot of the people who are listening to this know about Marshall Goldsmith, who, you know, has always billed as America's or maybe the world's at this point foremost executive coach. But Marshall used to have an organization called the Alliance for Strategic Leadership, which was a network of coaches that he was building that I was invited into at the end of 2003. And so the first and only meeting of the Alliance for Strategic Leadership that I ever attended was in January of 2004, and it broke up soon after that for another business model that Marshall pursued. But every time Marshall got up in front of the room in that weekend to speak, and there were other speakers, but every time Marshall had the floor, he would say, "Everybody here needs to be thinking about writing a book. Because that's the only way you differentiate yourself in this business, and you better be thinking about what your book's going to be."
Wow!
And I'll be really honest. I was like super intimidated in that meeting because like I'd been coaching for 2.5 years, and you know there are people that, you know, you got the dinner, they think, "Well, I'm coaching Al Gore. Who are you coaching?" You know, and it's just like, "Oh my gosh, what am I doing here?" And so I just sat there, you know, kind of very quietly all weekend long, thinking, "Okay, I got to write a book. What book am I going to write?"
Right. And Scott, I'm going to hold you right there because it's actually time for us to take a break, a very quick break. So this is Rasheryl McCreary with The Leader in the Muse, and you're listening to my guest, Scott Eblen, and we are on Voice America Business Channel. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool. With hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools, our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rasheryl McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back. This is Rasheryl McCrary, your host of The Leader in the Muse, and my guest today is Scott Eblen, and we left off at the break. Scott, you were telling this wonderful story about Marshall Goldsmith saying that the way to differentiate yourself is to write a book. So
that was his counsel to a whole bunch of coaches that were meeting with him over a weekend back in 2004. And so I sat there all weekend thinking, okay, so what book am I going to write? And by the end of the weekend, you know, I had the basic idea for what became my book, The Next Level. And the big basic idea was it was about picking up and letting go. I'd kind of lived through the experience of being in a job that I was not ready for when I was in my corporate career. You know, you move into these jobs sometimes and it's like, the expectations are really high, but they're not very clearly defined. And what I learned in coaching is that lots of people go through that, right? And so that became sort of my sweet spot in coaching. And so the book, it really focuses on that. And, you know, that's another differentiator around the brand. What am I known for? I think I'm known in part as the guy who frames the question, what do you need to pick up and what do you need to let go of when the results expectations change, because you clearly have to do something different to get different results. So what do you pick up and what do you let go of? And that's really, you know, how the next level is organized. And, you know, I always say whenever they ask, I owe that in large part to Marshall Goldsmith pounding on us all weekend long to go write a book, you know, and that was pretty big.
Yes, and it is a wonderful book. So I encourage all of my listeners to go to Scott's website, the Eblen Group or EblenGroup.com, www.EblenGroup.com, or to Amazon and pick up a copy of The Next Level. It has wonderful practical tools and advice, and also tons of research in the book that you conducted with Next Level leaders. Mm-hmm. And one piece of research that really startled me, one statistic that really was quite startling, that I think really influences or is a result of our topic today, which is this sort of running flat out to where. Mm-hmm. This statistic that says 40% of new executives fail within 18 months of being named to a new position. Mm-hmm. How is that possible?
that's a great question. That statistic comes from the Center for Creative Leadership, it's a widely cited study that they did, at this point, probably 15 years ago. But there have been a lot of other studies since then. I've actually been involved in a few of them that show the failure rate for new executives, either from internal promotions or external hires, ranges anywhere from 25 to as high as 50%.
Wow.
And the University of Indiana, Kelly School of Business at Indiana University, did a really great study on reasons for executive failure. The three or four of the ones that I remember really clearly are failure to build the relationships that you need in the new situation, failure to communicate effectively, But the one that really stands out for me is failure to let go of old habits or adopt new habits, which is right back to the pick up and let go that we were talking about a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing. You know, people do what they've done. You know,
right.
they do what they've done that's made them successful up until that point. And you know, the fact is the role changes a lot and the expectations changes a lot when you get into these bigger roles. So that letting go is really the key. Picking up, most people get promoted or get into these situations, they're smart enough to pick up new things. You know, they're smart
mm-hmm.
enough to learn stuff. And that's kind of the cognitive challenge. The letting go is more of an emotional challenge, you know, and there's a lot of fear that people have to overcome. There's a lot of uncertainty or doubt or self-criticism, or they've got so much wrapped up in their own identity up until now that they can't imagine being it any other way and or
mm-hmm.
seeing any other way. So, you know, it's just
yeah.
not adapting, basically, is the biggest reason.
Absolutely. And one of the things that happens when leaders are promoted to the next level is all of a sudden, the time evaporates, right? There are more meetings, there are more projects, there are more people to lead and to manage. I mean, there's a larger scope of responsibility and more constraints on time, more demands on time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if I'm a leader, I'm newly promoted to VP, SVP, whatever that next level is for me, and I feel like I'm in a treadmill, I'm just running. You know, where do I find the courage to let go of something
mm-hmm.
When working really hard and putting my nose to the grindstone? That's what's gotten me here.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, how do I let go of that?
So the question that I really encourage people to consider is really a simple question. What is it that only I can do?
Mm.
Right? And what I don't mean by that is, oh my gosh, I'm so fabulous and so amazing. I'm the only person that can do this. I mean, it's not like that kind of thing. But it's this: what is it given the role that I'm in and all of the unique resources and access and opportunity and visibility and authority and mystique and everything else that comes with that role, given all of that, what is it only I can do? Because you're probably the only one in the role, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
the only vice president or senior vice president or CEO of whatever it is.
Right.
And there are really high leverage activities and focal points that only you can do.
Mm-hmm.
In that role. And so, and then if you compare that to the stuff that you're good at doing or could do or you used to do, that stuff isn't what's going to create the future. And it's also the stuff that becomes your team's opportunity to grow. And the only way they can grow is if you give them the stuff that is a stretch for them, you know, at the current time, right? That's how you
right.
grew. If somebody took bets on you early in your career, they threw you into the deep end of the pool and they said swim, and you figured out how to swim. And that's what you've got to do for your team. You've got to turn a lot of the stuff that you're currently doing over to them and leave room, create the bandwidth to do the stuff that only you can do in the new role that you're in.
Great. Great advice. And so, Scott, what happens when you are delegating more to the team? You are really clear through some self-reflective process or self-awareness on what only you can do, what you uniquely need to focus on. So how do you then still handle the sheer onslaught of meetings and
yeah.
Projects how do you manage the sheer onslaught of things that are coming at you on a daily basis?
Can I tell you a 2-minute story to answer that question? We have 2
Absolutely.
Minutes. Okay.
We have 4 minutes actually.
Okay. Well, I'll use 2 of them.
Okay.
So, about a year ago, I had the opportunity to speak at the corporate university for one of the biggest corporations in the world. And it was about 70 people in the middle of a 2-week management development program. And Sunday night, I was the guest speaker on Sunday night. You know, so it's the end of week one. They've been in New York all weekend running around doing stuff, and they're starting at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. So I had that coveted slot, you know, on Sunday night. And I shared with them some data that I'd from research I'd conducted in their company with other business units. And it was self-assessment data on leadership behaviors that relate to this model and the next level. And the highest rated self-assessed behaviors were all about getting stuff done. You know, it was about accountability and timely decisions and stuff like that. The lowest rated behaviors on the next slide was all about pacing myself by building in breaks from work, regularly taking time to step back and define or redefine what needs to be done, giving others my full presence and attention, things like that. And what I said to them, I said, you know, my headline for you guys might be, you're so busy doing stuff that maybe you don't see what needs to be done.
Right.
And at that point, the room just kind of erupted, not in anger, but just like catharsis. It's like, yeah, that's exactly it. And they were talking about, you know, we're expected to answer emails at 2 in the morning, and a corporate warrior got to get 4 hours of sleep and no more than that, and blah, blah, blah. And the room's just going crazy, kind of letting it all out, except for this one woman right in the middle of the room, about 3 or 4 rows up right in front of me, and she's just like placid, listening to the whole thing, taking it all in, but not really saying anything. It's like, let's say her name was Jane. I said, so Jane, what are you thinking? And everybody looks at her, and she says, I'm thinking I don't do any of that stuff. And, like, every jaw in the room hit the table, basically. And they said, well, how could that be? Because by definition, everybody in that room was among the highest potential people in that whole company, right? And because that's who gets invited to that program. And she said, I made a decision a long time ago that I'm going to be home at night at 6 o'clock. You know, I'll stay if it's a huge, you know, legitimate crisis, I'll stay. But those aren't very often, really. And if it's a normal day, I'm out of there at 6. Because I have kids, and I have a family, and I want to see them. And I don't answer emails at night either. Really? How do you not do that? I just don't. You know, they know my number. They'll call me if there's an emergency, but I don't answer emails at night. And this one guy over in the corner, up higher in the room, who'd been kind of one of the leading instigators of the conversation up to that point, he just kind of said really quietly, he said, yeah, because the first time you answer an email at 2 in the morning, they know they've got you.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that story to me is kind of, how do I manage this? That woman made a choice, you know, very early on. And she defined, you talk about branding, she defined her brand.
Right.
You know, and her brand is, I can get stuff done in a 10-hour day. You know, I can get in at 8 and leave at 6. So that's a pretty long day to be, you know, that's a pretty serious day. But the rest of that is mine. And people respect that. You know, they respect that because she set those boundaries and those expectations. And I think that's a big part of it, really.
Right, absolutely. So it's time for us to take a short break. We'll be right back with our guest, Scott Eblen. This is Richerrell McCreary, your host, and you're listening to The Leader and the Muse on Voice America Business Channel. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network. Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Richerrell McCreary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's muse@leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back to The Leader in the Muse. This is Cheryl McCreary, your host, and we are talking with Scott Eblen, author of The Next Level and also the president of Eblen Group. And so please visit Scott's website. It is www.eblengroup.com. That's www.eblengroup.com. And you will find wonderful things there. Also, Scott has a wonderful blog. You want to tell listeners a little bit about your blog and the kinds of things you blog about before we jump back into the conversation?
I really try to keep my blog two or three times a week. We'll post a new article on the blog. And the idea is it's simple, practical, hopefully immediately applicable news for leaders, right? And so sometimes we'll riff off things that are going on in the headlines and try to draw the leadership lessons out of that. Sometimes it's stories from the front lines of coaching. The recent one I wrote was called "Their Perception Is Your Reality." You know, like if you get feedback, you may not agree with the feedback, but if they perceive that you're that way, you might as well be that way because that's what's going on. So yeah, that's what we do on the blog.
Okay, great. So go right over and you can subscribe to Scott's blog so that you can get the regular posts and with lots of great tips and practical tools that you can use to help yourself really shine at the next level.
That'd be great.
So, Scott, right before we went to the break, you were telling this incredible story about this woman who had really effectively declared her brand as being a successful next-level executive who did not answer email at 2 in the morning, who actually had room in her life for her life.
Right.
So, I love the way you framed this idea that she was choosing, she was being very intentional in her choice around how she was going to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in terms of what her brand was, what was important to her, her values of family, of taking time, of balance, all those things showed up in her actions of deciding, you know what, this is the cutoff point and I'm not going to work past this point.
Mm-hmm.
So can you say a little bit about how a busy executive can sort of begin to make those intentional kinds of choices to sort of, there are a couple things you say in your book about being on the balcony, and explain what that means a little bit. So how can I make an intentional choice to sort of be on the balcony, change my perspective, make some different choices?
So let's talk about the balcony and give some credit for that phrase, and then I'll share a tool with you and your listeners. Maybe that could be helpful for that. Okay?
Excellent.
So Ron Heifetz is an amazing professor of leadership at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, and I was fortunate enough to have him for class many years ago, and one of the distinctions that Ron makes for leaders is that leaders can either be on the dance floor or they can be on the balcony, and that the best leaders are really intentional about shifting their perspective regularly between those two. Because, you know, if you think about real-life dance floor, you're out there dancing as fast as you can, probably. Your perspective is limited, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see the stuff, the partner that's right in front of you, maybe a couple to the left or the right. But if you can get up on that balcony and look at the whole dance floor, then you can see the patterns and the flows and who's dancing really well and who's not dancing so well. They're doing an entirely different dance, maybe, whatever. And, you know, most of us, especially, I think this is really, really true in managerial and executive life today, people really are dancing as fast as they can. And it's about, you know, for most people, it's all dance floor and no balcony. And so I said earlier, you know, one of our lowest rated items in this next level self-assessment and 360 that we offer is regularly taking time to step back and define or redefine what needs to be done. So in chapter 3 of the next level, every chapter except after the first chapter is about picking up one set of behaviors and letting go of a corollary kind of set of behaviors. So chapter 3 is about picking up regular renewal of your energy and perspective and letting go of running flat out until you crash. And that regular renewal of your perspective and your energy is really about getting up on the balcony from time to time. The tool that we unpack, or that I unpack in chapter 3, the regular renewal chapter, is a model actually that my wife and I came up with, gosh, at this point, over 15 years ago at least. back in the early 90s probably, that we created for ourselves, we were really, still are, we go on an annual planning retreat together every year. You know, everybody's doing this in corporations all the time. You go on the big strategic planning retreat. But I find that most people actually don't do that for themselves very regularly, right? And so for whatever reason, Diane and I started doing that early in our marriage. Every at the end of every year, we would do it. And so we created this tool called a Life GPS. And so instead of Global Positioning System, it stands for Goals Planning System. But of course, we're playing off the GPS, you know, the system in the sky. And there are three basic questions that we're asking ourselves in this Life GPS process that I've shared with my clients a lot over the years, and it's outlined in Chapter 3. First question, how am I when I'm at my best? What are the characteristics that describe me when I'm really operating at my version of peak performance? And, you know, and that's that short but high-impact list of characteristics that really describe you. You know, it's not what somebody else thinks you should be. It's really, you know yourself. You know, Plato said the unexamined life is not worth living. When you really step back and examine yourself, what are the characteristics that describe you at peak performance? Second big question, what are the routines that you either have in your life or feel like you should incorporate in your life to make it more likely that you show up at your best more often than not? Mm-hmm. I think those routines fall into four domains, mental, physical, relational, and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And less is more on routines. You know, you can easily overload yourself with all these things you should do. But what are the really high-impact routines that make it more likely that you'd show up at your best? And those four domains, I think, are good places to look for those. And finally, if the last question is, if I was showing up at my best more often than not, what outcomes would I hope or expect to see in three big arenas of life? My life at home, my life at work, and my life in the community. And however I think about community. And what I encourage people to do is answer those questions. We've got a planning template that we share with people, but answer those questions on one sheet of paper. You know, in the center of the paper, write it down. What are the characteristics that describe me at my best? Around that center list, what are the routines that reinforce that best case performance? And then maybe at three points of a triangle out on the edges of the paper, home, work, and community, what are the three or four outcomes in each of those arenas that I really hope or expect to see? And update that once a year. Mm. And then keep it with you. You know, load it onto your iPad if you're using that. Keep it in your journal if you're keeping a journal. Put it on your desk. I've got mine right in front of me. Put it on your desk and just look at it. You know, the great thing about a GPS in your car, for me at least, the moment I love the most is when I've made a wrong turn and the GPS says, recalculating route, right? And so that's the thing. You can use your own life GPS to just recalculate your route. You know, where am I against this? And how am I doing this week? You know, and if I was going to make one adjustment this week to be more on course with what I said was important when I was up there on the balcony, what would it be? Just one adjustment. Don't have to do everything at once. Just one thing. What would it be this week? And, you know, the woman that we talked about in the story earlier, I haven't worked with her on the Life GPS, but she gets it. You know, she gets it in terms of, yeah, okay, these are the outcomes I want at home. You know, I actually want kids who want to be with me.
Right.
Well, there, you know, I have to be there once in a while for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have outcomes at work. You know, she's a high enough performer at work that she was in that amazing management development program that they had.
Right.
So
this Life GPS is a wonderful tool and very holistic. I mean, it really gets at, you know, your personal brand, right? Who you are at your best or how you are at your best. It also, I love the idea of having to really think about routines that need to be incorporated or adapt or behaviors that need to be adapted. Can you talk a little bit more specifically about what are some routines that a busy leader might want to incorporate into their day, into their work life to really help them show up at their best?
Yeah, so I said a little while ago, our lowest rated behavior on all our next level research is pace myself or paces himself or herself by building in regular breaks from work. And I think people generally have an idea about a break from work looks like a week long vacation or, you know, a sabbatical or whatever, which would be wonderful, but we don't, you know, those don't come around all the time. But David Kuntz, who's an author that I like a lot, he makes the point that the shortest version of a break is called a still point.
Mm-hmm.
And those come around all day long if you're looking for them. There are those little 5 to 10 minute interludes. And even the busiest person has 5 to 10 minute breaks if they're looking for them between meetings, right?
Right.
So, you know, if you get 5 extra minutes, you can either, you know, pull out your iPhone and answer 10 more emails, or you could just take yourself offline for 5 minutes, literally breathe deeply 3 times, clear out all the neurochemicals from the last meeting, you know, all the stuff that's making you feel kind of hyped up or stressed from the previous meeting, breathe those out, maybe do a little bit of stretching, get yourself calmed down, and then say, okay, what's next? You know, what am I trying to accomplish in this next meeting, and how do I need to show up to make that likely? Visualization, basically, you know, and even that in a 5 to 10 minute period can make a huge difference if you do that 2 or 3 times a day.
Absolutely. It can really have the effect of getting you grounded, getting you teed up. This is a practice I use all the time, and that's something that I used to do when I was a performer, to just stay grounded, stay centered, no matter what else was going on, or to prepare myself for a performance, just really finding time to just be quiet. And one thing I often suggest to my clients or sort of put out there is, you know, nothing derails or diminishes your brand faster than running around like a crazy person and being distracted, not being fully present, for the, you know, 8 meetings you have scheduled this day. So this idea of being able to pull out into a still point, have these still point moments throughout the day is incredibly valuable and actually quite easy to do, as you said, when you look for those 5 minute breaks throughout the day.
I think it is if you develop the habit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's one of my, probably my favorite guiding philosophy around the practice of coaching is the line from Aristotle, we are what we repeatedly do, excellence then is not an act but a habit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great book that came out earlier this year by Charles Duhigg called, what was it called? It's a book on habits. I don't remember the name right off the bat, but it's by Charles Duhigg, D-U-H-I-G-G. And it's all about how habits are formed, you know, all the functional MRI research and everything. And, you know, it takes a little bit of time, you know, to develop a new habit, but if you're intentional about it, you can do it, right?
Absolutely. And also, incremental change is always best, right? Instead of going from 0 to 100, changing behavior little by little in these small ways can have a huge, huge impact.
Sure. It's what the Japanese call Kaizen, you know, continuous improvement through small steps.
Absolutely.
You know, if you get 5% better every week, 5% doesn't sound like much, but if you're consistently better 5% every week, in a month you're 20% better.
Absolutely.
You know,
and Scott, we have to take a quick break here. So this is Rasheryl McCreary. My guest is Scott Eblen, and you're listening to The Leader in the Muse on Voice America Business Channel. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Talking business? Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
Zoom Leadership. It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal. Zoom Leadership. It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Zoom Leadership. An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel. Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rasheryl McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back to The Leader and the Muse. This is Rasheryl McCrary, your host, and our guest is Scott Eblen, the author of The Next Level, What Insiders Know About Executive Success. Make sure you pick up a copy right away on Amazon.com, or you can go to Scott's website, which is www.eblingroup.com. That's www.eblingroup.com. Okay, so Scott, we are back, and right before we went to break, we were discussing incremental change, and mm-hmm. you mentioned is it Kaizen? Is that the
Kaizen, mm-hmm. the Japanese process of continuous improvement?
Absolutely, and so one of the things I wanted to drill down into just a little bit is you mentioned these four domains to establish. So these routines of renewal, the mental, mm-hmm. physical, spiritual, relational. Mm-hmm. Now that sounds like a lot to me and to someone who is an executive who's running from meeting to meeting. Mm-hmm. How on earth do you establish routines in all these different domains?
That can be pretty intimidating. So I would say look for the killer apps. And what I mean by the killer app, you know, the killer app is one that gets you some value in two or more domains, right? So I'll use an example from my own life. About a year and a half ago, I started a yoga practice on a regular basis. So I'm like a six-day-a-week yogi at this point. And like they're either 60 or 90-minute practices, depending on what time of the day you go. And what I've found, and I'm sure lots of people find this through yoga or other practices, yoga, for sure is physical. I mean, it's a hot yoga practice. You're sweating your buns off. I mean, you know, and you're stretching it out. I'm doing things that I had never imagined I would do in my life. You know, like at age 50, I learned how to do a headstand. I can do a headstand on command now. You know, it's like I never thought I'd do a headstand. I know like multiple kinds of headstands even at this point. But I mean, but you work into that. So there's a physical thing. Mm-hmm. The mental aspect, you've really got, it's interesting, yoga really clears your mind because when it's 95 degrees and 40% humidity in the room, in my case, you're not thinking about much else other than what you're doing right then.
Just trying to survive.
Thinking, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? Like, oh my God, your mind is thinking, am I going to survive this? So it's like, you know, really a clearing kind of thing. So physical, mental, relational. So I go to the same yoga studio all the time and I've made great, fantastic friends with the other students there and the staff there, and you know, so I just, you know, I kind of get that that relational connection mm-hmm. regularly when I go there. And spiritually, I'll say this about that: to me, the spiritual thing, it can be, you know, organized religion or those kinds of things. But I think at its core, spirituality is about connecting with why am I here, you know, and mm-hmm. and giving yourself the space to do that. And I actually think yoga has been really helpful with that, you know, for mm-hmm. me. It more out of class than in class, you know, but I'm touching some of those bases as well. So, you know, that's my killer app, and I dedicate a lot of time to it, but the return on that time invested is enormous, and I think it makes me more effective in lots of areas of my life.
That's a wonderful killer app, and one that really resonates for me. So offline, I'll have to talk to you about yoga recommendations. And what about for executives who may be listening to this who are thinking, you know what, I don't want to do yoga.
Like,
What else can I do?
So I would start with what do you like to do?
Okay.
You know? And what do you like to do in any of those areas? So, like, do you like to read? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that your mental renewal activity? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's take a look at what you're reading. You know, is it sort of a garbage in, garbage out principle? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you want to read stuff that feeds your mind and your soul. So, you know, depending on your reading, you could get some spiritual renewal out of that. Mm-hmm. You could get relational renewal if you joined a book group.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
You could, I don't know about the physical part. I guess if you're reading fitness books, you could get some physical stuff. But, I mean, you could get three out of four, you know,
right,
if you were thoughtful
right.
and intentional about the reading. Or maybe I said, what do you like to do? You like to walk. Okay, well, that's the physical stuff. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you want to do some moving meditations while you walk. You can get a little bit of mental or spiritual going in that way. Or maybe you want to join, I've got a friend who's part of a group called Volkswalkers, like Volkswagen, that's like the German word for people.
Uh-huh.
And it's a group, they go all over the world and they take hikes together.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and it's an organized activity, so she's getting her physical thing, but she's getting her relational thing with the group, and she's also getting mental renewal from going to new places and thinking new thoughts that are generated by being in a new place. So, you know, lots of ways to get there. It's just thinking, I think, a little bit creatively about what do I like to do and how could I leverage that.
Right, and this is absolutely doable. So even though this sounds like there are, you know, these four domains and how am I going to cover these domains, I mean, one activity can, as you said, it can be a killer app that covers three or four, and it needs to be based in something you actually enjoy doing or have at least an interest in doing. So that's wonderful. So now, with this life GPS, it's mentioned in chapter 3 of your book, The Next Level.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you doing anything else with that, or how might my listeners be able to use it?
I would encourage you to go to my blog, eblinggroup.com/blog, and search on the term Life GPS. And there are a number of articles on the blog where we kind of unpack this a little bit more and, you know, talk about the applied science, uses of the model. And I'm at the very beginning stages of writing a book on the model itself and kind of using it as a guide, really writing it for the people that were in that Sunday night session that I was talking about. That's who I have in mind as I'm working on this book proposal and you know, kind of pulling all of my research and thoughts together for the book as people who are just dancing as fast as they can and it's like, you know, make it stop.
Let me off.
Need some balcony time here. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
That's going to be a couple of years from now, but working on that.
Okay. And do you have any courses that you offer, or either virtually or in person? Any specific coaching you do just around the Life GPS?
You know, we've done several workshops for client organizations on that. I do a lot of leadership workshops on Next Level broadly and the Life GPS specifically. So if folks are interested in that, I just encourage them to contact us, info@eblinggroup.com, and love to hear what your needs are, and we can talk more about that.
Okay, that sounds really, really good. And Scott, we have a couple more minutes here, so is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners in terms of how they can apply this Life GPS or still points or taking a still point or any other resource or tool that you can share quickly with us?
My word of encouragement would come from, we did a sort of a trial pilot virtual program on the Life GPS early last year. I just kind of wanted to see how it would work. And we had about 20 people in that from around the country. And one of the points that I made early on in that program was baby steps are good. You know, you don't have to boil the ocean immediately. I mean, as you said earlier, you don't have to go from 0 to 100% in short order. Baby steps are good. And that was, you know, it was kind of a throwaway line, to be honest. I mean, I just thought that's not that deep. But that's the thing that people really took away from that program. You know, it's like, oh, gosh, I'm so encouraged because I was so overwhelmed by this. But I realized that if I just did one, you know, that permission to just focus on one or two small things really, really worked for me. So I always talk people, I said, look for that sweet spot between things that are relatively easy to do and likely to make a difference. And don't worry about the stuff that's more complicated that would make a difference. Just focus on the stuff that's easy to do and likely to make a difference. And usually people get so much momentum and positive reinforcement from starting in that way that pretty soon they're doing the harder stuff. They don't even realize it's the harder stuff because they got there incrementally, as you suggested earlier. And so look for that stuff that's in that sweet spot between easy to do, likely to make a difference. Pick one or two of those things and get going.
Absolutely, and that's how you build a fantastic personal brand. Scott Eblin, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been wonderful dancing with you and discussing Life GPS. Please visit Scott's website, www.eblinggroup.com, and pick up a copy of his book, The Next Level, what insiders know about executive success. Thank you so much, Scott. Good to have you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Rochelle.
This is Rochelle McCreary, and we are at the end of our time for The Leader in the Muse. Join us next week on Voice America Business Channel.
Thank you again for listening to The Leader and the Muse with Rochelle McCreary. Please join us again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. See you then.